Is everybody up here that wants to be up here? That's my timer, okay. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the 15th Annual CA Recovery Permits Miracles Convention. Please silence all cell phones during the meetings. We are guests at this hotel, so please be respectful of other hotel guests and each other. We need to sell meals to support our convention. So if you haven't purchased any lunch tickets or banquet tickets or brunch tickets, no, it's just lunch and breakfast, please do. You can still get those at registration. After the meeting tonight is a play, One Day Today. If you've not gotten your ticket, you can get those at registration as well.
At the door.
And don't forget to stop by memorabilia. We need to get rid of all of our lovely memorabilia. And let's see. The speakers and workshops will be recorded and available for free. You need to be able to download it at www.cawwisconsin.org. /speakers.html. And if you don't have that, it's in the programs, the yellow programs, that you'll be able to go to that site and download the speakers and workshops. Smokers, please do not congregate in front of the door. They're pretty gracious around here, so just kind of walk into the parking lot a little bit and do your smoking out there. And that's it for that. Again, my name is Dominic, and I'm a grateful recovered drug addict. This is an open speaker meeting of Cocaine Anonymous. I would like to open this meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference today. Cocaine Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others recover from their addiction. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. There are no dues or fees for membership. We are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. We are not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organizations, or institution. We do not wish to engage in any controversy, and we neither endorse nor oppose any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay free from cocaine and all other mind-altering substances and help the others achieve the same freedom. We use the 12 steps of recovery. We use the 12 steps of recovery because it has been proven that the 12 steps process works. And at this time, I'm going to ask some people to read these.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. I'm a drug addict, alcoholic.
Hi, Lindsay.
We can recover. Welcome to Cocaine Anonymous. We are all here for the same reason, our inability to stop using cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. The first step towards solving any problem is admitting there is a problem. The problem as we see it consists of an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. The obsession is a continued and irresistible thought of cocaine and the next high. The allergy creates an absolute inability to stop using once we begin. We wish to assure you that there is a solution and that recovery is possible. It begins with abstinence and continues with practicing the 12 steps of recovery one day at a time. Our program, the 12 Steps of Cocaine Anonymous, is the means by which we move from the problem of drug addiction to the solution of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7 humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9 made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10 continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11 sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Cocaine Anonymous is a spiritual program, not a religious one. In CA, we believe each individual can choose a higher power of his or her own. In short, a God of his or her own understanding. No one comes into Cocaine Anonymous to find God. We came into these rooms to get rid of a terrifying drug habit. Look around this room. You were surrounded by people who came as a last resort. We came into these rooms emotionally, financially, and spiritually bankrupt. We have experienced all sorts of tragedies as a result of cocaine. Cocaine, drugs, and or alcohol. We have lived many of the same horrors you have, yet today we are free from the misery, terror, and pain of addiction. Maybe some of us were worse off than you, maybe some of us didn't hit as low as the bottom as you. Still, the fact remains that those of us who are recovering have come to believe that a higher power of our own understanding can restore us to sanity. There is a solution. We can recover from addiction. One day at a time, it is possible to live a life filled with hope, faith, and courage.
Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah.
Thank you, Lindsay. And tonight, Randy has volunteered to read the 12 traditions.
Actually, Emily is volunteering.
You guys are really killing
me. I'm Randy. No. I'm Emily. I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
Hi,
this is the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon CA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for CA membership is a desire to stop using cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or CA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the addict who still suffers. 6, a CA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the CA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every CA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Cocaine Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, CA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Cocaine Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the CA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before our personalities.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome.
Emily. See, we just have a ton of fun here. And tonight, Todd has volunteered to read the promises.
Got that right.
Hi, my name's Todd. I am an addict. The promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thanks, God.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Let me put this stuff back here. So the next...
Excuse me?
No, talking to myself. All right. Okay, moving right along here. We have asked some old-timers and some newcomers to volunteer to come up and do some short sharing alternately. What qualifies an old-timer is 10 or more years, and what qualifies a newcomer would be 1 or less years. They're going to share for about 4 minutes. We've got a timer up here. I will pick the first old-timer. We'll start it, and we'll end with an old-timer. And then when you come up, Mr. Old-timer, I'd like you then to pick out of the newcomer basket so I have that name ready to go. So our first our first old-timer would be the princess. And that would be Princess Di. Before you start, Princess, would you do the honors?
My name's Diane. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Diane.
One of the biggest things that happened in the course of my recovery was to be able to have a perspective change. And, you know, when I first got here, there were a lot of things in my life that seemed to be insurmountable odds to overcome to be able to obtain what I thought would equate to a serene lifestyle, what I thought would give me satisfaction with being content. And in the course of the direction that you gave me, I was able to start focusing on how I can stay in the moment. And it gave me the ability then to focus on being grateful. It gave me the ability to recognize that when I take direction, that something happens bigger than what my head would put together. But in order for that to happen, I had to be broke down enough. I had to be miserable enough. My willingness was certainly in direct proportion to my misery. And it's a continual growing process, and I learn more every day that I'm sober and stay close to you, and every day that I give my will over to the God of my understanding. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks. Our next speaker will be Nate W. Time is going already. Don't run or anything. Get rid of the gum. Nervous?
A little bit.
Okay. Ooh. Give that to me.
What?
I got a name.
Nate, addict, alcoholic.
Nate.
Recently coming back, I've come to realize that there's some suggestions that are like lifesavers or like things that you just shouldn't do, like get in relationships or not do what your sponsor doesn't want you to do because they're trying to save your life. Practice. I think I've relapsed on every way that you possibly can, and I guess today I'm willing for myself to do what my sponsor suggests, to reach out, to not be in my head, to do all the things that save lives. I'm back. I know there's a solution to my disease. I'm convinced, fully convinced, that I'm an addict, alcoholic, and that my life can get better as long as I put forth the work. Nothing's worth having if it comes easy. And I know there's a long, trudging road I have to do, making amends, accepting things, taking life on life's terms, getting a relationship with God. If you're new, go by my example, or not my example, my experience. Take your sponsor suggestions. Do the next right thing. Work with God. Let it pass.
Our next speaker is Todd J.
My name's Todd. I'm an addict.
Hi, Todd.
Feels good to be here. When I first came into treatment, I didn't have to ask myself if my life was unmanageable. It was definitely unmanageable. I had some friends in the family that were members of another fellowship that I used to listen to them talk about it. I used to listen to them, talk about the steps and talk about what they were doing different in their lives. And, you know, I thought, that's great. You know, it's just not for me. And my wife at that time, her father was a member of AA and had a friend that was a doctor that was a member of AA. Actually NA. And that kind of, it was the seed that was planted in me at that point. And, I finally admitted that I might have a problem and said, you know, I don't think I need treatment. I think I need to just go to these meetings, and that'll probably take care of it. So I started to go to meetings. I went to a meeting on Saturday morning, and I think it was Thursday night. And did that for about six weeks, and started to really feel good. I really felt proud about myself. I thought, you know, and I hadn't been drug-free since I was 16. I was a pharmacy junkie. I took anything that would enable me to change the way I was feeling, mainly about myself, and to enable me to be social. I had no idea how to be social without being high once I stopped using. So for 6 months I did that, and I really started feeling good about myself. And the only way that I still knew to reward myself for doing something good was to get high. I convinced myself that it was okay. I was good now. I came down. I didn't have withdrawals. I thought, well, you know, I can do this. And I hate to call it a slip. I call it my fall. And, you know, all the reasons that I silently gave myself that I didn't need this program when I was coming to the meetings was that I still had my job, I still had money, I still had relationships. I wasn't as bad as all those people. Well, my year and a half fall, I lost my job, I got arrested by my employer, I almost lost my wife, and my family had no trust in me, and I had no money and tons of bills. So to me, you know, after the fog lifted, I realized that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. God got me to this program, and God saved my life. God has saved my life in this program a number of times. The new way of life, I just love it. Do I have bad days? Yeah, I have a lot of bad days. The good days outweigh the bad days tremendously. The friends that I had when I first came into the program, never heard from a one of them. And these are friends I had for 25 to 30 years.
Never heard from one of them. And people in treatment told me that that was going to be the case. And I said, no, these are my friends. Turned out they were my using acquaintances. The friends I have today are friends. I've got some of the greatest friends in the world. I don't know what I would do without them. And it's what I need. I mean, it's what I needed then. I needed, you know, I once I got straight, I mean, I didn't have a job. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I, you know, when I first got out of treatment, I told my sponsor, I heard everybody saying, we're going to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I thought, that sounds pretty good. I might say that too. So I said it, and I went to more than 90 meetings in 90 days. I was going to a meeting every Saturday morning and every Sunday morning and every Saturday night and every Sunday night because I knew I needed it. I never walked into one of those meetings feeling worse than I did when I walked in the door. I always felt better. I didn't know how that was working. I didn't know why it was working. I just knew it was working. And, you know, being a junkie and an addict, I was addicted to feeling good, and this is where I got feeling good. So,
thanks, Todd. Should have passed out Snickers. Anyway, our next speaker is Jody.
My name's Jody. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jody.
Well, like he said, you don't always have good days. Today was not a good day. I guess where I'm at in my recovery right now, a lot of things I still want now. Most important to me is my sobriety. Because without that, I'm nothing. I guess for me, I am not where I want to be financially so that I can have my son back. I am not where, you know, making the kind of money I would like to make. But you know what? These things don't just drop on my doorstep. They used to. But that's not the way I want it today. I've learned that you have to work for things and you have to have faith. They say faith without works is dead. And I know that. And like he said too, you know, today is not that bad. I could think of a whole bunch of other different times where I was in jail, hospital, dope houses, in the hood. I don't want to be there today. I would rather be right here. And I know if I keep working this program and I keep... I can't touch it? All right. Well, aren't you supposed to... Well, if I keep working the program and I have patience and I pray... And I ask for help. I know there's people around here that will help me. I came in to hear a big crab. And Kelly said to me, Jody, what's wrong? And I just, like, puked up a whole bunch of stuff. I was like, bleh, you know? And she's like, all right, Jody, well, would you like to do a 3-minute lead to get you out of yourself? Said, fine. But these rooms is where it happens. You having a good time, Lindsay? Okay. These rooms is where it happens, and I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm just happy. And I know good things happen to those who wait. I just wish sometimes it would hurry up. I do. And that's all I got.
That's what got me.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm told not to touch it, so there's another microphone on there. Our next speaker is from Ohio, and that would be Spencer B.
Thank you.
Yeah. From Ohio, I hate the Buckeyes. I'm glad you beat them, too. You know, I just reminded, there's two bags up here. One is old-timers and one is the newcomers. My responsibility is to second bag with the newcomers. And what I try to do is what was so freely given to me was a good orderly directions of the 12 steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I see things that I say, you know, people say things, and I say, well, is that an experience, or is that a suggestion, or did you get that out of the book? You know, if it's a suggestion, please don't give it to the second bag, you know, unless it comes out of that book or an experience. I try to give my sponsorees the same thing that my sponsor gave me, the 12 steps. And that's what I tried to do today. My responsibility is to be back to basics, because the newcomers, you know, they struggle. As I was a newcomer and struggled, and it was very hard to listen to someone tell me what to do. But since I didn't know anything about this recovery thing, that was so important to me. That I pass on it was so freely given to me, to them. You know, I have sponsorees, and I have people to say to the newcomer, call me every day between 5 and 7. And I says, where does that say that in the Big Book? Working with others, it says you talk to the newcomer, let them talk, and you give them some suggestions. And so those are the things that I try to go and do. We are all different. The cocaine was different than the cocaine they got now. The drugs that they take now, I ain't never heard of. You know, Oxycontin and all that other stuff, I have no what's name, but I know if they was like me, had no way out, you know, where it says I had nowhere to go but here. I am a CA baby. My sponsor came and got me. He started CA in Ohio, and little did I know that, but it's one of those things that, but he told me, when you're ready, we'll work on them steps. And so I did not work on the steps exactly the way they should have been, but I do the steps. And I do the steps today. I keep it a focus on me because I need to pass on to that newcomer the things about recovery. People say, you have women that you sponsor? Yes, I have 5 women that I sponsor. One is speaking Sunday morning. She has 21 years. I've been sponsoring her for 20 years. And we're in the same room. And when she gets through in the bathroom, you know, I close my eyes and I go in the bathroom, you know. I have nothing. She has nothing but to pass on what I so freely gave to her, you know, that I won from her. I'm not that type of person. I was that person before. But she's like my sister. She's like my little sister, even though she's 6 foot, but she's still. So all I say to you is, like, you know, let's give to the newcomers what was so freely given to us, and that's faith, hope, and courage. That's designed the directions that's given to us in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I pass.
Thank you, Spencer. Our next speaker will be Angie D. Is there an Angie in the house? Okay. Yes? Here she comes.
Hi, my name is Angie Dillon, addict.
Hi, Angie.
Hey. Made it 36 days. So, thank you. Just got my chip the other day. That's probably the biggest thrill I got in a lot of months. I too, like the lady said, didn't realize I wasn't going to have anything one day either. I mean, I had a great job. I was working for the Harley Museum, making good money. Had picked up a night job. Had a great apartment in Oak Creek. Great car. Everything was nice. I have 8-year-old twin boys, Corey and Cody, and a 17-year-old, Billy. 3 boys. Everything was good until I found those little white rocks. And they kind of took over everything. I don't have my apartment anymore. I don't have my car anymore. I don't have my job anymore. And not one of the 3 boys live with me anymore. So I decided I needed to do something. I needed to stop living the way I was living. I was living right at the dope house. I mean, I didn't have to put on shoes to go get my shit. It was always there. There wasn't a time when I didn't have it. And when I knew I was getting really, really bad, and I would just go in the bathroom and cry sometimes and think, Angie, what are you doing? You used to take your kids to the Dells, go swimming, go to the hotel for a couple days. You used to just say, hey, we're getting in the car and it don't matter where we're going. We'll stop when we get there. And my kids, they didn't walk out of this store without something. I mean, we were able to do that. I was able to do that for my kids. I liked doing that for my kids. And when it was all taken away and I looked at everything and what I didn't have, I just thought, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't care if I'm here. I don't care if I'm not here. I don't really get happy. I don't get sad. I was just numb. I mean, the greatest thing, I mean, they could have told me that I won Publishers Clearinghouse. You know what that meant? Bigger rocks. And a lot of help. So, like I said, I just, God, help me, and I'm cursing, and I'm yelling, and I'm losing faith because I'm not a patient person. I want my help right now. I don't want to be like this anymore. I want it now. Well, little did I know that I had to make the first step. I had to make the first step and get myself out from where I was. And you know what? God has been with me every other step I have taken since. And it's like I have a whole new world. I mean, I'm happy. I want to be a better person than what I was. I mean, I just want to find the good in everything and every little thing. And I don't know, I'm just on this high from not being high. And I'm enjoying it. And like I said, 30 days ago, I got my 30-day chip. And right now, I'm working on my next 30-day chip and all the other ones that follow. So with that, close.
Thank you, Angie. Our next speaker will be, this is poetic justice right here. Excuse me. Greg B. Why there's 50 Greg B's in your bag, but hey, your name got picked. Just kidding.
Hi, everybody. My name's Greg, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Hi, Greg.
A little over 11 years ago, I came into this program beaten down, broke. I hit my bottom, and I've worked the steps, and I hung around, and I made a lot of friends, and I see a lot of friends out there that I haven't seen in a while, and I think this convention is the start of my next journey, because I haven't been doing what I need to do for the newcomer or for myself. I've just been dry for like the last year, and I haven't, and I don't know why, and I can't answer why, but I'm here for the convention. I'm going to the retreat. So newcomers, don't follow my lead, you know. Don't get stagnant, because it's hard. When I was driving here, I was uncomfortable, very uncomfortable walking into this room. I was on the phone with my sponsor. I still talk to my sponsor all the time. I talk to people in recovery, but I'm not hitting meetings. And that's what I need to do. And to the newcomer, stick with the meetings and keep coming back. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Greg. Our next speaker is Katie D. Katie? Come on down. She's way back in memorabilia, so this might be a... He doesn't know Snickers that Todd passed out. Oh, I could have done it all. Are you keeping track of how many? Pick a name, any name. Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Hi, everyone. My name is Katie. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Katie.
Okay, I heard a lot of good things tonight. I feel like I'm at home again tonight. I've been out there for a while, and I'm coming up on 9 months. Thank you, but it's a lot easier doing it the first time. Believe me, it's never as easy. Todd, I think what you said is, or maybe it was Diane, staying in the moment. And that is what I've had to do this past, was it you, Diane?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Staying in the moment is so very important to me right now. As important as it was oh so many years ago. One of my good friends is here, Robin, and although you refuse to speak, Robin. and Robin, I used to sponsor Robin a long time ago, and she's gone far. Stay in the moment. I look around and I see all these people that have stayed, people that have gone out there and come back. It's no different than it ever was. I've made myself of service this year, and that's part of staying in the moment. When I have absolutely nothing else to do, I can be of service. I've made some new friends this time around, kept some of my old ones. It's, I guess that's about all I have.
Thank you, Katie. Our next speaker is Randy K. Yay!
Randy.
Wow. I'm Randy, I'm a drug addict.
Hi, Randy.
Wow, I'm a little nervous now. It looks different from back there to up here. But I like to talk about, I guess for me, it's the miracles that are happening in my life today. You know, our theme this year is recovery permits miracles. And for me, it was, for me, I thought the miracles in my life early on in recovery was having my job back, having money in my pocket, and them kind of miracles. And they came quick. And I was wondering, I was thinking about it, where I was at that time, is this what it's all about? But the innermost, the inner peace in me, I still didn't have. So I figured this can't be it. It can't be all about the money. It can't be all about the job and the material things and stuff like that. I've got them things today, and I've had them for a while because I choose to do the next right thing. And the first thing is not to pick up. But that's not it. It's not it at all. I think the greatest gift this program has given me is that inner peace. You know, I've been around a while, and this is our, what, annual? 14th? 15th? And I remember being of service at the very first convention here, and, you know, I never experienced nothing like it. And for me to come here today, this weekend, which I have been for the last 15 years, is always a good experience, a neat experience, because there's people I haven't seen for a while. There's new people that come into these rooms that just bring me that hope and that courage that sometimes I need, you know. Even though I've been around for a while, doesn't mean that I'm not one hit or one drink away. You know, my drug of choice was crack cocaine. And with Angie sharing her story, I can relate to that, just like it was yesterday. And I think that's part of my recovery to bring me, to keep me coming back to these meetings, to these conventions, to do what I need to do. So, yeah, it's good to be here, and it's good to be clean and sober today. Thanks.
Thank you, Randy. Our next speaker is Barbara R.
Hi, my name is Barbara, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Barbara.
Oh, I don't know where to begin. It started off with me being a normie, what they call. And at about the age of 13, 14, kind of experimented a little bit and gave it up. But then I came back around the tables of drug addicts and for 7 or 8 years. And I experimented in it and I stayed in it and out of that, I went into a program and remained abstinent for 2.5 years again. And relapsed in 2009. Now I have 1 year and 1 month clean. What got me where I am now is going to meetings, getting a sponsor, listening to suggestions because I've never been able to listen to someone else. It always had to be my way or no way. Changing some of my character defects. Out there, I began to push everyone away that loved me. My sister, my daughter, my son. And my daughter didn't even want my granddaughter around me. And that hurted me really bad. And after seeing so much of that, because we were an extremely close family, I figured I had to do something because I wanted my grandchildren most of all in my life, and I wanted a relationship with my son and my daughter. I came into a treatment program called Maida House, and it started there with them teaching me tools, giving me coping skills, teaching me different things about recovery and staying clean. I finished their program and graduated their program about 2 weeks ago. And before I graduated, I started going to outside meetings. I continue my outside meetings. I will always continue my outside meetings because I will always need them. I love coming around the rooms looking at you people. I love the love that I get from the ones that I know and from the ones that I don't even know. I love making friends here. It's just great to have a group of people to come into around that you can feel comfortable with, because I've never been comfortable in my life, and I've never been happier in my life than I am today. I have no gripes about life. I have a happy, good life. I used to have everything in the world that I needed when I wasn't using, and I was beat down to nothing. So I'm gaining things back, not material things I'm talking about, but I'm gaining self-respect back. I'm gaining love back. Now my daughter and my son have respect for me. I'm in my grandkids' life. I keep my granddaughter twice a week, the littlest one, and the oldest one loves to be around me. So recovery is wonderful. And to the newcomers, just keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara. Our next speaker is Mike K with an I.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm a cocaine addict.
Hi, Mike.
Grateful to be here today. Today it's more about where I'm at. As I think about the years that I was using and some of the things that didn't happen to me, today they're happening to my children. I've got two that have DUIs. I can be there for them and support them. There's a lot of things that have happened in my life today that I don't have control of, and I have to turn it over to God today. My mental state and my anger is directly proportionate to how I let God into my life. If I don't let him in, I rage, I yell, I lose control. It has taken me a long time just to manage to listen to him, try and let him in my life, and try to allow his work instead of my head and my mind to get into things. It hasn't always been easy. I lost a job 2 years ago because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. It's one of my trademarks. I don't have a lot of patience. And I will say what's on my mind. Unfortunately, I don't always think when I say what's on my mind, so it does get me in trouble. The good news is today that I still have my children in my life. I can be there, I can support them, and I can show them that I've changed, and hopefully they can too. Unfortunately, it's tough to see the apples fall right at the foot of the tree and try and deal with that, because as I know, I can do nothing for them other than be there, because I can't change what they do. It's a reminder for me that that should have been me, but it's now my children. And I've told them that a number of times, that they both know the next time they do anything, one of them just turned 21, they'll be in jail. So today I'm grateful for everybody in my life. I found a lot of friends in this fellowship. And I wish everybody another 24.
Thanks, Mike. Our next speaker is Dennis W. Yay.
Hi, I'm Dennis. I'm an addict, alcoholic. It's definitely a blessing to be here. I'm grateful to be here. I'm gonna keep it simple. I'm gonna talk about darkness, light. Before I was in the dark, I was in the world in the way. No purpose, no meaning, tense, confused, anxiety. And life didn't mean anything. All I lived for to get high, to use, and didn't like myself, didn't like people, didn't like the world. So that's what I was in the dark. So now these rooms, this moment right now represents light to me today. Purpose, meaning, I can think. I feel an energy here today. And I remember what it was like in the dark. I was scared of people. I was scared of myself. Today, I love people. Today, I want to be clean. So when I focus on today, the same thing that I used to focus on in the world, getting high. So today, I focus on God, sobriety. I practice the principle, getting a sponsor, what they tell me. When I was out there, I practiced just getting high. Today, I share, not dope, but hope. Today, I share my life with other people. I share my hope, my experience, not do you want to hit, do you want to drink. So today, I focus on those things, and my goal today is to keep some sanity. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Dennis. Our last speaker for the evening will be Donna Kay.
Hi, I'm Donna. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
Hi, Donna.
And I really like the experiencing miracles through recovery. The first miracle I experienced through recovery, I'd have to say, was my dad. He went into recovery in 1983. I was 18. And I remember celebrating Father's Day at DePaul with him and kind of thinking, you know, this is cool you're doing this, do you really need to be here, you know? And as he went on in his recovery, I saw the changes in his life. And, you know, he opened up the world that, you know, sobriety is out there, you know? And so when I realized that I had issues in my own life that I needed some attention, I knew that I could go to my dad and he was actually also at the same time looking for me to do an intervention, you know, so there's a miracle right there. And when I told him I needed help, he was like, you know, and he knew right where, you know, we already have an appointment set for you for today at 4 o'clock, or just, you know, at DePaul, you know, and let's go get you a suitcase and a carton of cigarettes because they're going to keep you. And they did. And I was getting due to be released from DePaul, waiting to get into Meda House. And I was on a waiting list, and I was very scared about going home because I knew that my house was where people came to after the bars closed. That was the party place afterwards. And I was pretty sure that I would not stay sober if I went back home. And so the counselor from DePaul called Meda House to see where I was at on the waiting list, and they had an opening for me right there. So that was a miracle in itself right there. And you know, when I started in the program, I was also had nothing. I had pretty much lost, you know, I had no job, I had no house, I had no, you know, I started on welfare. And I was probably in the program good 4 years before I got off, I was able to work and get off welfare. And just the miracles through my life are just, they're so abundant. It's amazing to me to look back on it and see, you know, where my life was then and where it is today. You know, I had two small children at the time. My daughter, Selena, her first year of life, she did not see a doctor. She had none of her shots, you know, because it wasn't important enough to me. My using was more important. But now she's 21. She's going through college, you know, and she's making it in life. Thank God. That's a miracle right there. You know, we are planning my oldest daughter's wedding for the summer, you know, and she wants, you know, all my girls want me there in their lives. And to me, that's one of the most important things outside of recovery, you know. The last year and a half, I also dealt with both of my parents' death, but I stayed sober. You know, I got through it. You know, my family relied on me. Who would have thought? You know? You know? And that's a miracle right there. You know, I've seen a lot of people go in and out of this program in my own life. My own brother, he's one that likes to be on that rat wheel, you know, going around and around. And I thank God every day that I'm not there, you know. And I've learned to put this program into my everyday life, you know, work the steps, the principles in my everyday life. And it's just so ingrained in me. It's just, you know, that's, you know, I've learned through coming to the program and meetings, you know, from the people standing up and getting their years, multiple years, chips, and listening to what they had to say, you know, hang with the winners. You know, the 90 meetings in 90 days, I did that. And I got a sponsor, and I used the call list. And, you know, when I needed something, I called. And I surrounded myself with healthy people in the program. And, you know, even healthy people in life, you know. And the program has just gotten me very far in life, and I wouldn't be here without it. That's for absolute sure. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna. Just quickly, I'd like to say something, I think, too. Just on the theme of RPM, Recovery Permits Miracles, if we look around this room, there are hundreds of years of sobriety in this room tonight, which is exciting to me and gets me actually goosebumps on my arms, because this is a miracle. For me, it's a miracle. For every one of us, we're here on the right side of the dirt, and that's a miracle in itself. Everyone's got a story to say that they can experience that they had a miracle in their life, and me too. You know, this is the kickoff to our 15th annual convention. We're here. We're free. Let's have an excellent, excellent convention, and let's celebrate, because this is absolutely something to celebrate about. I want to thank all the speakers for coming up here and sharing. It was great sharing, and I think we're going to circle up here and say the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, and we're going to start our convention one day at a time. Thank you, everybody.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Welcome.